And for me, like, just hearing from the things that you've been talking about, a like giant takeaway is, you know, to not really get fixated on what we're doing.
Yes.
What we're experiencing, mm-hmm. what we're enduring, but like really focusing on like, am I spending time like really growing in my relationship with the Lord? Like, yeah. am I spending time with him?
Thanks for tuning into the Upstream Life Podcast. Join us as we dive into scripture and tell real life stories that we hope will educate, equip, inspire, and challenge you to live a life against the flow.
Should I give the disclaimer that last week
in the disclaimer?
Disclaimer. Did I say disclaimer?
You did.
We can wind it back.
Should I give? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So shall I give the disclaimer that last week I freaked out in our RV because I felt like I was getting swallowed up by a dark hole. So I took off all the blinds and ruined all of the lighting for the future of podcasting in the RV.
Well, you can you can look at it one of two ways.
I have to live here when we're not filming.
You've either ruined it. You've either ruined it or you've made it amazing.
I mean, we've made it like you said, we were talking about the intro that Ben did, the like kind of like collage.
Yeah, the evolution.
The evolution of the podcast. Yeah. And it's like, wow, we have really gotten ghetto, but that's like more us anyways. You know, like,
well, I'll let you hold that claim.
You're ghetto than I am.
I'll let you hold that claim.
On a scale of one to ghetto, which of us is more ghetto?
You, for sure.
In what way?
No, I'm just kidding.
What?
I embrace my heritage.
You're a new creation.
But I am a new creation, yes. And in my new creation, it's all things five star.
Look at where we live.
Not even close.
We even got a homecoming mom for decorations.
Yes.
If you can't see it, trust us.
Hey.
It's there.
When you were little, did your grandparents have wood paneling in their house?
Absolutely.
Yeah, like
we had it in our trailer in my own house.
That's what I mean. You love mid-century modern, where I'm more like I like late 60s, early 70s. So we're in like wood panel central here.
Yes. I would not say that I love wood paneling.
Yeah.
Just depends on the application, I suppose.
I wouldn't
and even, what's surrounding
I it. Wouldn't even say I love it. I would just say it's familiar.
Oh yeah, definitely familiar. What? Okay, so one thing that is awesome is that it's now
we have a
feel. Not 110 degrees outside, so we have our front door open and we can sit there and look at the hills, the hill country around us.
That's which is the reason. Like, what's neat about perspective, right? You guys can't see this right now, but
trust us,
just off. To our right is basically our only real window.
And it's about this big.
Yeah. But it's the view that led us out here, right? This kind of rolling hill, you know, the Texas it's hill country.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so me and the kids talk about this all the time. Sammy's made mention of it on a drive or two, but it's almost like God gifted us with two of our favorite places in the world. It feels like Wisconsin and it feels like Haiti.
Yeah, like they just kind of got mixed together with Texas too, obviously.
Well,
three of our favorite places.
No, I mean,
in
all things, right?
Yeah.
Because Texas people are good old people, right?
Yeah, I love it.
We always talk about Midwest nice. Texas people are great people.
Like, yeah, I love Texas
so much. I am here for the hospital. I'm here for the ma'ams and sirs.
Yes.
So that part feels a bit like the Midwest. The temperature here.
No. People in the Midwest don't call each other ma'am and sir.
No. Okay, sorry. Not the ma'am and sir.
Like
sir.
Nice,
I mean like
the niceness.
As far as 50 states go, the Midwest still, you know, they're called Midwest nice for a reason.
I think no offense to the Midwesters.
Oh, don't say it. No, you can't say
but
it.
But I feel like Texas is oozing with
ooh,
nice.
Okay. I'll let her hold that fact. Just because I know that at least seven of our followers are probably from the Midwest. Not hate to offend them, but anyways.
I'm not offending anyone. The people that we know in the Midwest are great.
Yeah.
I'm just saying here, I've gotten flipped off once, which I feel like in 2 years of driving in a big city, that's like really good odds.
That's really good odds. I mean, we're talking 1.5 million people in San Antonio.
I think it's one. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of people.
I just saw the sign yesterday. It's 1.470.
That's crazy.
I think it's growing, though. I don't know how.
But I feel like that's like good odds. And I would say like I've met less than 10 rude people.
Yeah, I haven't even began counting because it's so few and far between. Mm-hmm. But OK, so to continue on my path.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's scary to leave.
the
comfort and familiarity of a hometown, and and embracing people is what we had back home. I mean,
yeah, we had a great
we could take scarier risks back home because we knew we had such great people around us to capture us.
That's true.
We feel that happening now here that we've gotten out to the hill country area, but yes, landscape wise, which as I get older becomes a big deal. Like what I see kind of controls my day, right? I like the sun, sunny days feel a little bit more upbeat, happy. The view, something about the particular view that we have right here, it just speaks of God's bigness. It's like second to an ocean view to me. You know how like when you pull up to the ocean?
Yeah, the vastness.
You just right away go, oh my God.
Well, and you're an ocean guy, but I'm a mountains girl.
Right. And you kind of, kind of looks mountainous out there.
Are you going to, you're going to smack on my microphone?
Sorry. But then yes, it's kind of deserty.
Yeah.
Not like
the cactus, the wild cactuses. Yeah,
not like,
I didn't even know that was a thing in Texas. Like I knew it was a thing in like deserts.
Yeah.
But I was thrilled to find that out when we moved here.
I could take this exact picture out my door and find the exact picture that would match it in Haiti.
Yeah, and in Wisconsin probably.
And somewhere. In Wisconsin, just different trees, different trees.
And obviously not wild cactus.
Well, that's, I mean, I'm talking big picture. I wouldn't zoom in on a cactus.
But, I would.
But
I
then
would,
but then the weather is, Haiti, you never get a break from heat.
Right.
It's hot all the time. Mm-hmm. Now, the summers here are hotter for me than summers in Haiti. And there was no break this year. I mean, it was really 100 every day forever.
Yeah,
but really you know that some cool days are coming. Mm-hmm. So that.
Yeah, I'm wearing them. Here we go. We get to look at the outside world.
It feels a bit like Wisconsin. We filled a lot of time with that.
Yeah, we did.
But
it was probably a little wasteful.
Sure. Whatever. It's our podcast.
We can do whatever we want. We don't have to do anything.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to Upstream Life.
Why? Why?
How about I just say, love you, babe, and we just end it right there.
Love you, babe.
Hey,
why
how
do
about,
you do these things? Tell me.
Can I?
I have an update.
Oh, okay. Update us away.
Guess what's in our mailbox?
Oh.
This is the other thing, guys. Okay, so since moving out here, we have a post office box because we don't really exist on a street yet. So we can't get mail or, you know, any kind of like deliveries or modern mail type.
I'll be willing to bet that nobody really realized how recluse we are. I mean, we are.
Is it recluse? Is that the word?
We are 1.7 miles away from a road.
Yeah.
In one direction. If you wanted to go the other direction, it's like 3.4 miles.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
We're like nomadic.
Speaking of our mail.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's in the mail?
Is in the mailbox. It's a book.
I would have a book. Mm. Oh, I should know this.
You should know this.
It's the Radical Prayers book.
It's not what it's called.
Dangerous Prayers. Yes. Dangerous Prayers.
There. Yeah. It's in there. So we're going to start diving into that as soon as I pick it up this afternoon.
All right. So
we'll have to update because we were going to go through the Dangerous Prayers plan again, but then you ended up in Haiti and, you know, life kind of changed. Well, now we have the book. So we'll have to update everybody about that.
So timely. So let's talk about that for a second.
Okay.
We spent a couple of podcasts exhausting how much this book had moved us. Well, not even the book, just the devotion.
I think it was just 1 week, but
Was it just 1 week? Yeah, it felt like, well, it's because you and I had to do the devotion for weeks, that it was a constant reminder a week. I meant to say we had to do it daily for a week.
Yeah. So it felt like a couple weeks of
which.
I see what you're saying.
But
look at you being accurate with your details.
That's because I know who I'm sitting next to, Miss Fact Checker, who will, as soon as podcast over, be like, it was 7 days, okay, and one podcast, all right? I'd be like, well, maybe Ben made 2 episodes out of it. I don't know.
I feel like you should be thankful that I like things to be as accurate and honest as possible.
Upstream Life, if it has anything to do with the Bible, is all about balance. So to where I exaggerate and you are obsessed to the T, it balances us out well. Yes,
it keeps you more honest.
So on this Dangerous Prayers thing.
Yes.
You and I, especially Upstream Life, is not like something we sat around one time and was like, oh, you know, what would be a good void to fill?
Right.
It became really out of the excess of our ordinary life was this hard pursuit of what does it look like to go after God while forsaking the world? Now, obviously, every single day is a bit of a compromise because you can't just drop your nets and go follow Jesus around the world, at least as a married person who then you're dealing with two people and also children. Like there's not necessarily a conformity, but a compromise, right? We'll call it
like
that.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I mean, you can,
but also, yeah, right? It's a can, but, and the, but, becomes our compromise of saying, okay, how does an ordinary husband and wife, how does an ordinary family live feeling like they're at least always open-handed in pursuing God? And that what sets that apart is not allowing convicting messages to go just unsettled. Mm-hmm. So this dangerous prayer thing for me and you, obviously it stirred us. And the last 2 days I have spent, I'm not saying this as like a sum, but as a sacrifice. And I got that from this weekend's message. It's not that I'm praying for an hour in the mornings that makes it great. It's the fact that I have not been able to get up.
Which is so weird because you're like, I am the morning, the most morningest person of all. Well, I am not, never have been.
That was one of the biggest convictors though. Mm-hmm. I have always incorporated my time with the Lord in my mornings, but it also benefited dually because that was usually when I went to the gym. So although devotions were a part of my mornings, it also was going to the gym. So once that dual purpose went away after my surgery, I found myself really lacking in my devotional and prayer time. So when I was reading that book and I knew like every single page was as if the Lord was speaking me back into that first love approach of just communing with him in prayer, I didn't even know where to begin. So last week, every single night I went to bed with the intention of waking up to do this 1 hour in prayer because it impacted our trip so much in Haiti. So myself and the guys that were with me, we had done this and it was just a rich, rich experience. So I was like, I'm going to do this. And literally every morning at 5 a.m., my alarm would go off and I'd be like, eh.
Yeah, which is so unusual for you. I mean, I like my whole life knowing, well, not my whole life, but my whole life of knowing you. So that's been like 23 years now.
Yeah.
You've always been a morning person and I've always been not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe there's,
I'm like, I'm not even really ready to go mentally until like 3 p.m. My prime time is like my prime time is 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Honestly,
this has been,
I should just work from those hours.
This has been the blessing and curse of our relationship because it's why we get so much done in any given day is because I'm able to do some stuff in the morning. You do some stuff in the evening, but it also becomes our curse because you're ready to talk and like plan world domination at like 8 p.m.
And I'm, and you're like
I'm an hour away from going to bed.
Yeah.
So totally. let me just wrap this up. I know I took a long time on this, but it's a big deal to me. It's a big deal to me. And you set up the alley-oop into a slam dunk.
The alley-oop. Hmm.
I did hear somebody the other day say an alley-oop into a home run. And I was like, that person knows nothing about sports. So anyways.
Well, I don't know what an alley-oop is.
Alley-oop is like me throwing the ball up to you and you getting it and dunking it in the hoop. Alley-oop. Into a slam dunk.
So they didn't know anything, and I didn't either.
They didn't. No.
It was not football, so I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
Okay, true. Go ahead.
Monday morning. Actually, it started Sunday night. I said, Lord, in my prayer time before I go to bed, I said, Lord, please. Like, I don't know what it is. It is certainly not my unwillingness to sacrifice, but I'm struggling getting up. Man, I woke up
and
so.
And like, really, is it really a sacrifice? I mean.
It is a sacrifice if you're enjoying that extra hour of sleep.
Okay, yeah.
No,
okay,
it's not a real sacrifice.
Well, for me, it would be a sacrifice. For
you, it would be beyond sacrificial. It would be like...
Don't challenge me.
Yeah, it would...
I just can't be a morning person. It's like literally impossible.
Yeah. So 5 a.m., not only did I wake up, like I had the most... I'm not kidding you, man.
I know because you came in our room Monday and woke me up and said, babe, I woke up at 5 and I was like, that's awesome. Good night.
I had the most amazing time in prayer. So we have this, you know, hour guided prayer that we use on short-term missions trips that I just kind of pulled back out. And, you know, I'm trying my hardest to like return to my old love, if that makes sense. I feel like one conviction that God has constantly kept before me through this weird soul seeking season is that my best days aren't behind me, yet it feels that way. Hmm. So I keep asking myself, what was so different about, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago than today? And a lot of it honestly is just those ordinary practices of meeting with some guys and doing Bible study, taking some real time to like, not just pray, but like to pray through a list. And that's what happens in this is the first step of this prayer is just confessing God's bigness, right? Just like, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Like, just spend 10 minutes on a couple of these scriptures and just trying your hardest to imagine what it's like to just go, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, mm-hmm. who was and is to come. Like, what does that really mean? And what's happening in the throne room right now? And like, how, you know, like you try to do that. And then the next part is basically a moment of confession and just saying, God, you know, like, seek my heart and what do you see? And just praying. And I'm doing all of this out loud. Like, I'm chosen to not do it silently, but out loud. And man,
in our truck, thankfully.
Yeah.
Because
so
I'm still not a morning.
Long story short, it goes kind of through these four breakdowns, and the last portion of it is just 10 minutes of kind of just silence before the Lord and you know, whatever. So, anyways, it's been beautiful. And what's sad to me, and it shouldn't be, what's sad to me in it right now is knowing.
Uh-oh. Why is Sailor calling me? Go ahead, that's take it. Weird.
Yep. I'll remember. What's sad?
Hello? To me? Okay. We're filming our podcast.
If it's about a slushie, keep this in.
Yeah.
It is slushy or not. Seriously, I know her. Oh my gosh. Keep this in the podcast, please. This is hilarious. We are throwing Sailor under the bus.
Are you going to get her on FaceTime?
She just FaceTimed me, oh, yeah. But it was like audio. Literally. Okay, this is the thing. She sends me 11:44, slushy or not. And then 3 minutes. She can't even wait 3 minutes FaceTiming me.
Yeah. That's funny.
All right.
The girl loves slushies. I mean,
she's so funny. Yeah. Like, guys, we film on Tuesdays. We know this.
Yeah.
Like, sorry. Sorry, guys. Sailor. Well, okay. Were you ready to
move
to
a new
point? Because I totally have something to springboard off of something you said.
I want you to jump in on it. I was just going to conclude in saying what's sad is when you taste something that good and feels like it's missing. Mm-hmm. That we don't hold on to that as it starts to get pulled away from us. You know what I mean? Like clean eating, a good example. I never knew what my body and mind could feel like when I was clean eating. But you so fast return to being like, man, sugars and donuts, sometimes that's really good too. But it makes you feel crappy. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like this season right now as I'm back into Bible study. And when I say Bible study, it's not like I've ever not been. But I meant in a group of men. Bible study versus just sitting.
That's been so fun for you to
sitting
get
on my porch, or like, not that I don't pray. I feel like every other guy that feels like he's in conversation with God all the time, but never just this like, here's this time where I'm just going after.
Never, or you mean not for a while?
Oh yeah, sorry, not for a while.
Yeah, you were talking about how sometimes it can feel like your best days are behind you.
Yes.
Okay, and what that made me think about is what has changed, right? Mm-hmm. What has changed? 3 years ago, 5, 10, 15. And the in my mind, the biggest thing that's changed is our day-to-day.
Yeah.
In that for so many years, we were in day-to-day ministry. Like really living.
Yeah, where it's
okay,
like
yeah. Don't get distracted. Yep, sorry. Okay. Like really like living each day focused on ministry. Mm-hmm. And we do still, right? Like upstream is still what you do. It's still what our life breathes. And yet, because of first COVID and then, well, actually, first unrest in Haiti and then COVID and then more unrest in Haiti and more unrest in Haiti and more and more and more and more and more unrest in Haiti, it has changed how our day-to-day looks.
Yeah.
So now it's not like it's like you can just be going in and out, in and out, in and out. I'm obviously not traveling with you there right now. Like things just look so different in our day-to-day.
Yeah.
And I think what happens is that we sometimes can, because of just like who we are in our sin nature and who we are in our like kind of American culture, is that we grade our like faith journey on what we're doing and experiences.
100%.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a.
And like, do I like feel God today? Do I feel like what I'm doing is good today? Yeah. And when you're like, in the situation that we're in right now, where you're literally stripped down to an RV and you're working out of that and you're trying to figure out each day. Like, I mean, we're really stripped down to the point where we're like, we don't even know what to do in Haiti. Like it is so like above and beyond our capabilities and our skill set that it's like, you're just this now 100%. I mean, we've always been dependent on God, right? Like I'm not discounting that, but now it's like, it's 100% like our capabilities were, what can you do? Yeah. And so I think that it like really, and then not to mention just our personal life of where are we going to live and how are we going to, you know, are we going to live in an RV forever? Or are we going to build something? And if we build something, what is going to be the purpose of it? And what are we going to do? Yeah. You know, because inflation, you know, just everything's changed and it's really stripped it all down to like you said, where it's like, where does your devotion really lie? Like, does it lie in your works? Does it lie in experiencing God?
Yeah.
Does it lie in all those things? Or does it like truly lie in time spent with him and getting to know him, you know?
Yeah. No, that is, it's so real. And, you know, if anybody listened to the John Reiner podcast that Ben and he did, or Ben and him,
he and Ben.
Anyways, did to whatever weeks back it or was from he. This one, one of the little things that I grabbed a hold of is how we've created such a society that's based off feelings.
Totally.
You know, and that
even church experiences are a lot of times based on feelings.
That's what I mean. And feelings are certainly a part of.
But they do lie.
Even if they lie, they are a part of all decision-making processes and how we deal with life. But boy, it's certainly not the area that you want to base big decisions off of. And, you know, as you're talking about that, it reminds me so much. And I think for me, you know, we're always all our own worst critic, best worst critic.
No, we're always our worst.
We're always our worst best critic.
Worst. You're just canceling it out. No, yeah. I guess you're not.
No, you'd be like your greatest worst.
You're like
worst.
The greatest worst.
Yeah. That's what I was trying
I'm
to say.
I was being the worst critic.
I was trying to emphasize double emphasis. So like I watch myself and I watch what I'm capable of doing when something changes, right? Mm-hmm. So like, okay, you're going to lead these two men into a foreign country and you have 5 days with them to try to lead them well, whatever, to whatever extent, knowing that you may not have the opportunity to do anything. So you're able to like spend time with the Lord and be like, okay, Lord, what types of things should we say? What types of things should we do? What types of things can we lead them into? All of this type of stuff. And then you forget that you're supposed to be doing those same things to yourself. You know what I mean? Like I,
yeah. And you're the people around you every day.
Basically, you know? All of what I just said could be simplified as once all of a sudden the task is at hand and you realize the task goes beyond what you can do in your own power, you become very reliant on God. But then all of a sudden, like on a day where maybe you don't have XYZ to do at 3 p.m. or for 5 days or whatever, you'll just kind of lounge in that. Mm-hmm. And you forget that we are constantly, when you said, you know, our best days are behind us.
No, I didn't say that.
But I'm saying like bringing that back full circle.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is, as you and I sit, as long as God is preeminent in our hearts, whether our actions follow or not, he is always sanctifying us.
Well, like if he's preeminent in your heart, your actions are going to follow.
Well, that's what I'm, but what I'm saying is it can't be based off feelings. Like right now it feels like while things weren't as exciting in this or that season, or I was a part of this or that in those seasons. And instead of realizing that whatever season you're in currently could actually be more beneficial to your sanctifying process.
Totally.
Like he's actually working out things that need to be moved out of the way so that things in the future can be better protected or better, you know, he becomes more elevated than you. You know, mm-hmm. we see this all the time in ministry where somebody's gifts and talents, even surrendered to God, will put them on this up and right trajectory, but maybe their character hasn't been refined along the way. And they find themselves 5-10 years down this path where they're dependent on their character and not necessarily
or
God.
I
personally can relate to that extremely well. I thought so highly of the work that God had done in me that, you know, I feel like I probably ventured up a mountain without him, you know, feeling like, okay, we've done this before. We can conquer this one. We can go for this. Mm-hmm. But the truth and the reality is the one thing that our God is extremely jealous of is our devotion mm-hmm. to him.
I think, okay, so this is like my I sit in a church mentality coming through. But lately I've been thinking like, okay, I love this. You know how I am, like just verbally processing, talking about our day-to-day stuff. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
But then there is this like little part of me where I'm like, I hear Kevin Flowers being like, the big idea is.
Yeah, what's the big takeaway?
And point one, point two, point three, you know, like I get a lot from that personally. Yeah. So I'm like, I was thinking lately, like with our podcast is like, okay, really it's just us verbally processing, talking about our life, talking about what we're learning, whatever. How can we then also share at least something to like take away and apply? And I'm sure everybody gets something different, you know, like even just like the sermon last week.
Sure.
People probably get something different, right? Yeah. I mean, there's obviously the main ideas and things like that, but there's, you know, things based on like what you're going through, what your prayer life is like, what your day-to-day is like, mm-hmm. that you kind of cling on to different parts, right? So obviously everyone's going to have different parts, but I want to make sure that
and you can like have a big idea, which kind of represents you and your life, but then you can have moment to moment big ideas. Yeah. So you're saying for like this particular,
and just in general on our podcast, like I want to be mindful that we're also because obviously we knew like basically we looked at our podcast and we're like, okay, it used to be really awesome. And then we tried to go really structured and that does not work well for the way balance? That Sammy, you know, functions or thinks. So let's try to kick it back a notch and just be a little bit more chill again, a little bit more us. And then in that, which I think I love and appreciate about things is it just feels like back to natural.
Sure.
How can we also make sure that we're saying, hey,
here's the structure.
Here's the, not necessarily structure, but like, here's a takeaway.
Here's a takeaway.
And for me, like just hearing from the things that you've been talking about, a like giant takeaway is, you know, to not really get fixated on what we're doing.
Yes.
What we're experiencing, mm-hmm. what we're enduring, but like really focusing on like, am I spending time like really growing in my relationship with the Lord? Like, am I spending time with him? And the rest of it just comes after that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't, I'm much,
and not just spending
I'm much like
time
you.
For like the sake of spending time, but like what's the desire behind that time? Right. Because we can all be like, okay, here's my duty. I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. or at 7 p.m. or whatever I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to go, I'm going to read, I'm going to pray. I'm going to boom, get it done. Knock it off the chart. You know, just like got to feed the donkeys, got to feed the chickens, got to read the Bible. Not doing it like that, but like literally just being like, I need this. I crave this. Yeah. And I want, you know, like I want this, you know?
Yeah. 100%. And that, I mean, and you have to constantly, I think, revisit all of those because that something that works really well, once it becomes a religious obligation or a duty or a task, it's lost it. Like, you know, if I come one day and I do the dishes and I watch that it really makes you happy. And now I do the dishes every single day, like clockwork.
That would never lose its power. Yeah,
well, I've learned that. I mean, 23 years later. No, I'm just kidding.
I do the dishes sometimes too. Yes. But my thumbs crack. Yeah. Come on, babe.
So for me, let's go through.
Here's an example of that. Yeah. I have a perfect real life example of exactly what you're talking
Better
about.
Better than mine?
I don't know what yours was.
That's because you weren't listening. I was saying,
I didn't know you were giving an actual example. You were talking about,
I'll say something that has a good, so like take this 1 hour in the morning that I'm having right now. It's great.
Well, it just started.
Right. But I'm just saying, if all of a sudden I make it permanent, if I make it permanent and I just keep doing it now because I've made it this like duty.
Yeah. Do you want my example?
It loses. Good. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. So there was a time. Like 2.5 years ago where you felt very strongly like that you were supposed to daily do the Lord's Prayer.
Yes.
Get down on my knees, side of my bed every morning, every night and do that. And it was something that you really felt like you were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years later, you were like, okay, now this feels like a duty. Yeah. It doesn't feel like what it was supposed to be. Yeah. So do you like my example better?
No, that was a perfect example. Okay, yep. That was probably more buttoned up than mine.
I just remember you talking about that.
Yeah. And that was, you said it in a much faster fashion than basically what I was trying to get to. And that is, even though that was a really good thing, like I knew that was something that God brought me to simple. I just need simple guided prayer. Cause
it's just,
but then all of a sudden
in,
you're
yeah.
like, but now I can recite just, this so fast that it feels obligatory
it's
duty.
Yeah,
it's lost its
little
bit of feeling. So big idea. So my big idea on this one is when the Holy Spirit prompts you, which for me in this situation, when it comes to prayer, was a conviction. Like I felt convicted that these things that I was reading in scripture about prayer, I wasn't lining up with. What makes it an upstream event for us, as far as the big idea, is reacting to that. That's going against the flow. My natural flow or people's natural flow sometimes is to be like, oh, well, that's not that big of a deal. Mm. You know, like, and we just don't actually move into the prompting that the Holy Spirit may be giving us. So my big takeaway is, wow, okay, so I had to meet God in the middle of this. He was convicting me and I needed to put it into action. And in putting it to action, it felt like, wow, this was a release. There's an opening here. And that's kind of the big idea of upstream life for you and I is we're just a couple of goofballs that love the Lord, mm-hmm. that when we read scripture, it seems like it's clear, but it's very hard then to lift your eyes out of scripture and see that both in your own life and in the life around you. And it's like, okay, what does it look like to go against the flow? Right? We can all sit in a room and complain. We can all sit in a room and talk about the problems, but at what point do we start addressing them? That's the big idea of upstream life is, what does it look like as a Christ follower that is worried about the church it's going to leave for its children or the church it's going to leave for its grandchildren? What changes can we make that move us back towards alignment with Christ that goes away from the things of the world? Because that's all that really trips us up most of the time is mm-hmm. things like, I keep using this up and to the right diagram because Aaron gave that to me. You know, this
I've heard you say up and to the right so many times. Well,
this idea that we start wherever we start in anything, we're always trying to move up and to the right, right? So if we start as a little league baseball guy, we want to become the best baseball guy, which on a diagram is always up and to the right. You know, you never want to kind of jog.
Not up and to the right like a right angle. It's up and to the right.
Like if you were to show your life growth chart, you want it to be up and to the right.
So the way that my brain works, I've been thinking that you were saying like up and to the right, like a right angle. And I'm like, what does this mean?
Yeah, and that makes sense.
Why would you want to go that way?
So
it's plateau.
So yeah, I mean, if you were to look at my life, and I would say our life, because most of my life has now been spent together, you know, it looks like, you know, kind of like circles. You know,
like circles. It looks like a maze.
But it's a maze that at the end of the day, and I have this conversation with the kids all the time, it's like, listen, I don't know what you think of me and mom. And sometimes I worry about that, but most of the times I don't. I worry about that, but most of the time I don't, because the reality is if you love the Lord, it's going to always feel like that. Like you're always fighting for the fact that I'm an alien. We have to remember that Jesus uses these terms.
The RV life.
Jesus uses these terms. You're going to live in this world, but not be of this world. You are going to be citizens of heaven while living as foreigners in a land and earth. Like, I don't know what that feels like to you, but if I were to drop you off as an American into a country and a culture you've never experienced before, in a language you don't understand, you would feel very foreign there. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we always as Christians feel a little foreign to this world, the last thing we are to try to do is to conform to it. This is what Christ says. You know, Paul says, do not conform to the patterns of the world. Yet it feels every day we're trying to take our foreignness as ambassadors of heaven and try to conform it to the world, right? The way we think about our bills, the way we think about how we're building a house, the cars that we drive, the clothes that we wear, all these types of things. The average person could read through the scriptures a first time without any guidance, and it probably would feel a little more Amish than normal. You know, like it would feel like this abandoned, it would feel like
this. Look at you offending the Amish right now.
No, well, praise to them. But back to your point, I spent a lot of time with the Amish.
Why are you getting passionate about
Well,
this?
No, because you,
no, you are. You've, did you have a lot of coffee or is this exciting?
This is exciting. You've given me another really good point.
Okay.
No,
you were on it this week.
But you said,
is this because you got up at 5?
Whenever. Yeah, sure. It's Holy Spirit, no doze.
Okay.
Take the Amish, for example. In pursuing God, it was led to disciplines like forsaking technology and seeing that electricity could leak. Who knows? Somebody must have had the foresight, not necessarily that they saw the internet coming, but they could see the progression of it. And they just said, it's good for us and us people to be this separated group of people. But now if you go speak to the average kid in an Amish community, even though they've adhered to those traditions and disciplines, most of them are far from the Lord. You know, I've sat with so many Amish men that can't actually tell me the why or the who. They can tell me just about the traditions. Same thing we saw with the Jews and the Pharisees. We can, in our duty and practices and devotion to God, miss the entire relationship.
Totally. Yeah, that can be us every day.
So anyways, that balance, that pursuit of balance. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I love you, babe.
Good podcast. Thumbs up.